You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
The music you're listening to, elevating, elegant, and noble, reminds us that this is an important weekend in the life of our nation. Weekend in which we remember those who gave their all, who gave their blood, their flesh, their very lives, for the sake of our freedom. So while we're all celebrating and firing up the barbecue, let's remember that there's a very special reason for this weekend. And that's to honor those cherished dead who've gone before us and who've made it possible for us to continue walking a road of freedom and peace. Good morning, I'm Graziano Marcheschi, and you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. It's Friday morning in Chicago. Today, you're hearing this program live, and we'll be repeating the program on Monday, which will be the actual Memorial Day. So we thank you for listening, and we want to welcome to our program this morning Dan Olipra, who is the Director of Cemetery Services for Catholic Cemeteries here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And we want to talk with Dan about the field masses that will be held throughout the Archdiocese this coming Monday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Gratz. Thank you for having me.
A pleasure. This is a very special memorial that's happening, and the Archdiocese certainly takes it very seriously and stages a mass in each of the Catholic seminaries. Is that correct?
In the cemeteries, that's correct. We have there's 44 cemeteries within the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we are pleased to have masses at 37 of those cemeteries.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, are they at different times, or are they all at a standard time? How does that work?
Well, the majority of them would be at 10:30, but the best way to get the information, because some of the parishes have different times for their masses, and the best way to research that information is go to our website, if I can give that out.
Oh, please do.
It's www.catholiccemeterieschicago.org. Again, let me just repeat that, please. It's www.catholiccemetierieschicago.org. And for those who may not have use of a computer, let me give you a phone number.
That's great.
It would be 708-449-6100. Again, 708-449-6100. And if they would call that number, we can let them know just where the mass is and what the times they will be.
Now, how do you go about recruiting the celebrants for these field masses?
Well, we have a deacon on staff who has contacted the various parishes and see who can participate in the masses for us.
I see you've got most of the auxiliary bishops celebrating.
Yes, we try to utilize them as best we can. And again, if they go to our website, that'll indicate just where those auxiliary bishops will be. Cardinal George will be celebrating Mass at Maryhill Cemetery this year, which is just happens to be the 50th anniversary of Maryhill Cemetery in Niles.
In Niles.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's excellent. And I know the Cardinal does this every single year. I've seen him, what's that cemetery up on Bryn Mawr near the lake?
Oh, Calvary?
Yes, the one.
Right, right.
I think he's gone there a number of times.
Yeah, it's a big day for us, Gratz. We really do a heavy preparation for the day. And I understand it's the kickoff of the summer season, but it's a special remembrance for those who have served in the armed forces. In fact, this year we are offering a special blessing just before the final blessing of the Mass for all those who have served in the armed forces past and present and currently?
My father-in-law is 86 years old. He's a World War II vet, and
wow.
He never misses one of these celebrations. He rarely talks about the war. He rarely talks about the comrades who fell at his side.
I've heard that quite a bit.
Day comes, I think those friends and comrades are very, very present to him.
Very good. It's a great tradition for families, if they haven't already started one, to come out to the cemeteries. Like I say, we do spend a lot of time and effort getting it ready for our visitors, and we welcome all those to participate in the Mass and to come to see the cemeteries.
Yeah.
Pay their respects.
Now, Memorial Day started out as a way of remembering the fallen soldiers who died during the Civil War. Is that right?
That's right. That's correct.
And then eventually it was expanded, I think, after World War I, to remember the dead of any of the wars that our country's been engaged in.
That's right, Graft. From my understanding of the history of it, it's a field mass, which before battle in the wars, they would offer a mass probably on hood of a Jeep or something like that, and just have everybody ready for the coming battle. And that's kind of a takeoff of the history of how it developed into bringing it into the cemeteries as a field mass.
You know, it's got to be a powerful experience to be there, especially when you know that history, to realize that, in a sense, you're reenacting a scenario that was played out countless times in actual battle zones.
That's right. It's a special moment for people to come out here and pay their respects. Like I say, we do spend a great deal of effort getting it ready. The cemeteries have masses at the majority of the cemeteries that we have. And it is a special time. You can see it in the faces of the attendees. And it's very moving.
Now, Memorial Day started out, I think it was originally called Decorating Day, because people went to the graves to decorate them, as a sign of their respect and honor for their beloved dead. Eventually, some years later, it came to be known as Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
But given that antecedent, given that early history, do many people come on Memorial Day and then after the Mass go tend to the graves of their fallen family members?
Oh, most definitely. And I understand, listening to a weatherman, Memorial Day itself, Monday, is supposed to be the best day of the entire three-day weekend. So we're really looking forward to having a lot of people attend the Masses. And they do spend time afterwards visiting their grave sites and, paying their respects, saying their prayers.
Yeah. You know, some people lament that because of the three-day holiday, that it tends to take away from the focus of the memorial for the dead. That it's a long weekend, and people simply focus on the fact that I get a day off of work, and it's tagged on to the weekend, and we can go and play. And the memorial aspect sometimes falls by the wayside. What you're doing through Catholic cemeteries certainly helps to retain the focus where it's supposed to be.
Well, thank you, Grass. I appreciate the kind words there. Like I say, we do make a special effort to get the cemeteries ready for our visitors and preparation for the Mass on Memorial Day. Like I say, for most cemeteries, it is 10:30 on Monday. And for those who need to just find out what time exactly for the various parishes, go to our website. That's the best source of information. Again, it's www.catholiccemeterieschicago.org. And that phone number again, if I might?
Absolutely.
708-449-6100.
And we want to remember that it's not just an opportunity to honor those who died long ago in the Civil War or First and Second World War, but also veterans of Vietnam, those who fought and gave their life in Korea or in Iraq or even Afghanistan.
Very, very good, Grant.
So thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
And we're going to go to a break and be taken there by this beautiful music. When we return, we're going to talk to people involved in the care of veterans. So don't go away. We'll be back very shortly.
Join
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th, as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon, and we'll see you at the finish line.
Memorial Day is a day of remembrance for those who have died in the service of our country and for all those we wish to honor in a special way. Begin your observance of Memorial Day by attending one of the field masses being celebrated at most of the 44 Catholic cemeteries in Cook and Lake counties. For times and locations of these field masses, go to www.catholiccemeterieschicago.org. Celebrate your memories at a Catholic cemetery's field mass.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Perfect prayer, crown thy good with brotherhood. God shed his grace on thee. When we talk about American exceptionalism, we can say that because of the brave men and women who gave their lives. We are an exceptional country, and we're made exceptional by the blood of those who sought and fought to make us free. To honor them, the best way to do it is not to boast, not to brag, but to live out the ideals that they lived out by giving their very lives. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio. We're speaking to you live on this Friday morning, and we'll be coming back to you on Monday, Memorial Day, in recorded fashion. Today, which is Friday, if you would like to call in and tell us about your experience serving or about someone that you know and someone you love and honor who served nobly our country, give us a call at 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. I'd like to introduce to our program now two gentlemen who are very involved with the care of those who served our country faithfully. Cesar Hill is Community Relationship Manager for Catholic Charities, and he's going to talk about the St. Leo Campus for Veterans. And Bert Smith is the Program Supervisor of Catholic Charities Veterans Employment Program. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Cesar, you've got, you've got a little something you'd like to share as we begin. Why don't you do that right now?
I do. A very short poem by Dorothy Brown Thompson, entitled Unlearned Lessons. Memorial Day of every year, the little valiant flags appear on every fallen soldier's grave, symbol of what each died to say. And we who see and still have breath, are we no wiser for their death, has always been a very meaningful poem to me.
That's beautiful. And I'm so glad you brought that, because as I was just doing a little bit of research last night, I found this piece of information. Memorial Day, on the Thursday before Memorial Day, the 1,200 soldiers of the 3rd U.S. Infantry placed small American flags at each of the more than 260,000 gravestones at Arlington National Cemetery.
That's incredible.
I had no idea. Every year, the Thursday before Memorial Day, 260,000 flags. Now, I've seen photos of that.
Okay.
But I didn't realize that was an annual event, and that these great guys would go out there and honor the men who went before them in this fashion.
I'm sure they'll have visions of that process during this holiday, and it's a wonderful sight to see.
Yeah. Now you gentlemen work closely with people who've actually fought in war. Just coincidentally, I read a book over the past couple of weeks called Unbroken. I mentioned it on the radio here a couple of weeks ago because it just made a profound impression on me. It's the story of a man named Louis Zamperini. He was an Olympic runner in the 30s. He ran with Jesse Owen at the 1934 Olympics in Berlin. And then the war broke out before the next Olympics could happen. And he eventually was incarcerated in a POW camp in Japan. Just the most horrific conditions you can imagine. Just this morning, as I was, you know, getting ready for work in my bathroom and enjoying the comforts of a hot shower and, you know, being able to shave, I flashed on the description of what he went through. And I thought, my God, I need to appreciate every little thing, because so many people have to do without them. You probably work with people who went through war and who may have experienced that kind of, you know, gruesome life for an extended period of time. What have you learned from the men that you work with? What kind of an impact has this war experience had on them?
Well, it has had, and I can relate to the veterans from the Iraqi, Afghanistan, and Vietnam. Some come back broken, and they need our assistance. And that's the reason why Catholic Charities started the Veterans Employment Program in 2009 with a earmarked grant from the Department of Labor. And we are there to assist them to get their life back together. And some of our veterans were homeless, living in Lower Wacker or in Grant Park. And we're there to assist them to try to find part-time, seasonal, temporary jobs just to get them going again. And Caesar has a story regarding that.
You know, before we get to that, you know, the stereotype, I think, is that someone goes to war, they fight, somehow they manage to survive, and they come home to the, you know, spread out arms of a loving family who just couldn't wait for them to return. That's not everybody's story, is it?
Oh, no way. They come back, you know, you never know what they have seen over there. And PTSD is rampant with our young veterans that's coming back now.
PTSD is?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome. And basically, they need assistance, and they need organizations such as Catholic Charities and the Veterans Administration to be there for them.
So what kind of services do you provide for the people who don't have that support system on their own?
Well, we have employment. We have partners regarding housing we can refer them to. If they have legal issue, we have organization that will assist them. Clothing, food pantry. We're just a all-purpose organization. We assist all veterans. All the veteran has to have is a DD Form 214. That's what we assist veterans with, DD Forms 214. We don't look at general unhonorable condition, honorable discharge, because we never know what happened to that veteran while he was serving our country.
And you don't look at Catholic, non-Catholic?
Oh, no way.
Absolutely. Now, Caesar, Bert mentioned that you have a story of your own experience. Would you be willing to share that with us?
Yes, I do. Very briefly, I experienced homelessness in 2004. My background is college graduate. I served 6 years in the United States Navy proudly, three enlisted, three as an officer aboard two aircraft carriers and a number of duty stations. I came back. I became an appointee under Harold Washington. And upon his demise, it was time for me to transit that position. So from 93 to 2004, I overcame a number of layoffs, and it was a sign of things to come, budget cuts, program cuts, and the like. However, in 2004, and from lessons learned, I had 5 months' rent saved. However, despite valiant job search efforts, it just was not to be. I eventually became homeless. I lost everything. And, of course, this was traumatic to me. I was fortunate enough to 18 months in a homeless shelter. Of course, no one wants to live in a shelter, but I was fortunate enough to go to a shelter, Lincoln Park Community Shelter, that has a challenging and vigorous program that actually empowers people to rise above that state, make life changes that lead to long-term economic and housing stability. After the 18-month period, I was notified that St. Leo Campus for Veterans opened. I was amazed. This is the first of its type, large-scale, single-population housing for formerly homeless veterans. And the Catholic Charities, who incidentally have been assisting veterans since shortly after World War I, along with U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and the Veterans Administration, got together for this project. Wonderful project. These are a group of committed people who united behind a common purpose, and that purpose was rooted in deep caring and compassion, far-reaching in their vision. And, you know, it sets off a chain reaction, and it makes such a difference in the life of people. When I moved there, words cannot describe the gratitude that I felt. In the shelter, we were required to maintain a daily journal. On the last page of that journal, I traced the apartment key that I received. And, you know, I will forever be grateful to the Catholic Charity. And they saw
it's obviously a very moving part of your history. Yes. And that key was obviously a very important symbol of the the independence that you now had that you lacked. It's a powerful story. What you said at the very beginning is that the shelter that you were in Lincoln Park, I think you said?
Lincoln Park Community Shelter.
Yeah, that it's about helping people overcome.
That's correct.
And you're one of those people who was able to overcome that period of, you know, where things had fallen apart in your
That's
life.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Catholic Charities is part of this collective effort, this collective wisdom, so to speak, that has such a deep and meaningful impact on the lives of others. I send out messages daily to, like Bert indicated, people whose souls, spirits have been seared, that people do care, and it's a deep care. And while they sleep, these people work tirelessly and vigorously on their behalf. So they should know this. And there's plenty of help. Our president, along with the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, General Shinseki, have vowed to end homelessness among veterans within a 5-year period of time. This is, there's a lot of work that's involved in this, but I believe it's going to happen. I served as community liaison for Veterans Affairs for just about 3 years. I'm now, as you indicated in the beginning, in another position under the very capable leadership of Angel Gutierrez, still helping people. I get tons of mail from veterans organizations and veterans themselves that I now forward on to others and ask that they please help
people. Yeah. Now, St. Leo's, as you mentioned, is a residence facility. Does it also provide employment?
That's where we started from. Our first clients and veterans were living at St. Leo's. In 2007, St. Leo's opened. I came in as a job developer, assisting the veterans to find part-time, full-time, seasonal, temporary, any type of opportunity, because a lot of our veterans at St. Leo's hadn't worked in 10 years because they were homeless. They were living, as I say, Lower Wacker, Grant Park. And we started knocking on doors, talking to employers about our program, our veterans, just trying to make them successful. We know that full-time opportunities, if you haven't worked in a while, you're probably not going to last. A couple days a week working, feel good about yourself, and that's how the program started.
These conditions that Bert mentioned create a sense of isolation, and people the longer you're out there, the more impact it has on your psyche. And, you know, I can certainly attest for the years that I've worked with Bert that he and his small team are part of that vigorous effort.
But, Caesar, we couldn't do it without our partners. Yes. You have to have relationships. You have to have other organization that you can go to. We specialize employment. We have to have organization who has other housings other than St. Leo's and Cook's Manor, other clothing facilities. What started from individuals who has a connection with Catholic Charities. Now, the Veterans Employment Program has a veteran employment boutique. We have clothing for male and female veterans who's in our program. So when they go on an interview, they have a suit and tie or a sport jacket and a nice pair of shoes. And then they knock on a door and an employer looks at them and says, oh, welcome in. They accept them in. But it's partners, relationships.
Now, among your partners, do you number businesses who are willing to give part-time jobs to some of these men, like you said, who maybe haven't been employed for 10 years and need to ease their way back into the workforce?
Oh, yes. One of them is Catholic Charities has opened up the opportunities. Then we have other partners, manufacturing companies, healthcare, hospitality, a wide array. But we're always looking for other organizations, you know, to give us a call if there's a job opportunity for a veteran. You know, call the Veterans Employment Program because there's many people unemployed. But we find out that the whole key is knocking on doors. It's cold calling, calling employers, making a relationship, talking to these employers about the program.
Now, what percentage would you say of the men who are on the streets are veterans?
I would say one-third.
Really?
I would say one-third.
That's a great that's a national tragedy. And again, our President Obama and Secretary Shinseki have vowed to end it. But what Bert is talking about is very important. The Catholic Charities from 1917 to today is still on the front line. We have veterans coming home from war that have to fight another war, and that being the war on poverty. And here, this wonderful organization, this collective action, sets off a chain reaction that creates those necessary resources that Bert and his staff utilize.
Now,
and
these
it brings
men,
communion.
Do these men find you, or do you find them?
You know, at one point, we were going out finding them. But now it's word of mouth because the program has been so successful. Other veterans is telling veterans about the program. Other veterans is in other programs such as CWT, Compensated Work Therapy with Jesse Brown or Heinz VA. And those managers are referring people to us.
Do you have any story, any anecdote of someone maybe who's come to you recently or someone from, you know, some years ago that you would consider a success story, someone in whose life Catholic Charities was clearly able to make a big difference?
We have a veteran who came to us homeless. His car was stolen, just went through a divorce. U.S. Marine. 4 years, culinary arts. Came out of the military, 12 years with a four-star hotel. Lost his job. Came to us. We started knocking on doors. Called one of our partners and says, we got a guy with all this experience as a chef. Can you lead us down a road that is least traveled? He says, okay, call this organization. They just opened a new facility a couple years ago. We called the employer, told him about our veteran. Seven interviews. Started $25 an hour. Now he's our contact. He's assisting us when he needs a person. You know, one hand washes the other.
Praise God. That's Amen. A great story.
And there are other examples of people who may have faced the challenges of drug and alcohol addiction to try to ease the pain of their condition that have utilized all the resources that are available to them at St. Leo Campus for Veterans, including the VA hospital, and are now back on their feet. Their lives are turned around.
Praise God. We need to go to a break, but we're going to continue this conversation and our celebration of Memorial Day and honoring those who've served our country nobly. Stay with us. Graziano Marcheschi, Catholic Community of Faith. Don't go away.
Catholic Charity's Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
The faithful lightning on.
Welcome back to Catholic Communion of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, thanking you for being with us on this Friday or Monday morning. We're broadcasting this show live on Friday, May the 27th, and it will be repeated on Monday morning, Memorial Day. Beautiful, inspiring music that reminds us of the valor of those who fought bravely in the various wars in the history of this country. While we're grateful for all those who gave their lives and shed their blood, our prayer is that no one ever need to do that again. Our prayer is that the glory and the goodness of God, the mercy of God, will bring a lasting peace upon the earth. We're going to be speaking now with Father Matt Foley, Army Chaplain assigned to Special Operations Forces, currently working in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and just 3 weeks ago returned from his second tour of duty in Afghanistan. Good morning, Father Matt.
Good morning, sir. Good to talk to you.
Wow, I get called sir. All right. What is your rank in the military, Matt?
I'm just a captain, sir.
Just a captain. That sounds good to me. Matt, where were you serving here in Chicago before you went off to be a chaplain?
My first 5 years were 89-94 at St. Agatha.
Okay.
Then I went to Mexico to the mission of Santiago Apostol and Quetzaltenango Guerrero. And then I spent the last 8 years from 2000 to 2008 at St. Agnes of Bohemia in a little village.
Wow, so you've earned your stripes here in the Archdiocese as well as in the military.
It's all been a blessing, sir.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the work that you do as an Army chaplain. In what ways do you minister to the men and women of the military?
Well, you minister to the men and the women that serve, but also to their families. So if we're on post, which is Fort Bragg, we will have, you know, religious education like all parishes do. We have 8 Sunday Masses. We also have Masses that take place in the field. We have a hospital ministry. So it's very much a parish-type experience. When we're over abroad, we do specifically just Army ministry, Army and all the combined forces when we go to Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever we are in the world.
What's unique about being an Army chaplain? It's interesting to me to hear what you just described, the similarities to parish. That's not something I would have been aware of. But I'm assuming that when you are out in the field and you've just got the soldiers there, there are particular needs that might be different from what you would encounter in a typical parish. Is that right, or am I just kind of dreaming here?
No, that's correct. I recently returned from a deployment, and you know, when before you would do the calendar is very, the time clock is very different. We're on different types of time, so a lot of our missions are done in the nighttime. So we would do a mass before they would go out on, and some of our soldiers would gather. We would do prayer, we'd do blessing, and they'd go out on mission. And is that there's peace, but also that there's prayer that they all return without injury nor death. And another experience was we lost a soldier, and the commander was a very good Catholic, and we were transporting that soldier. We do a very profound, quiet, dignified ram ceremony to bring his body back to be sent back to the States. And we were able to fly, the commander and a group of us were able to fly with that body back to Bagram. And he was praying the rosary on one side of the casket, and I was praying the rosary on the other side of the casket. And it was just a profound moment of bringing home a fallen hero.
Yeah.
And praying for him as we transport his body back to his family.
You know, since Vietnam, we who are stateside, I think, have become inured to the sight of war on television. You know, and when you see it on TV, it's obviously very removed, and it almost looks like, you know, just one more TV program. It must be, as you said, profound and in some ways terrifying to be really up close to death and to get close to these guys, to know their hearts, to know about their families, and then realize that they're going off to someplace that they might not come back from.
It is, and it's also an honor, and it's very humbling, but you stay pretty close to Jesus Christ when you are walking through the fires of some dangerous situations. So it also has a profound relationship upon them. And when you're able to celebrate the Eucharist with them or pray with them and bless them and be with them in the same type of circumstances, you have some real inroads to evangelization and scripture study and things along those lines. Because praise, they're mostly young soldiers. You know,
yeah.
They're mostly in their 20s.
Yeah, praise God. Now, I see you're involved with Special Operations Forces, obviously with the attack on bin Laden's stronghold. That's very much in everyone's consciousness. Do you deal with those kinds of young men? Have you dealt with Team 6 or anything similar to that?
I would be ministering to those types of soldiers. Yeah, that would be part of my, obviously I'm not on those missions, but those are the soldiers I minister to.
What's the special character of the kind of young men who would comprise a Team 6? What does it take to be selected for that special kind of service?
Well, that would be Navy SEAL, so that would not be in my lane, but that would be somebody. They have to go through an extensive amount of schooling and preparation. So the soldiers, to be like a special forces soldier, or would be in school, you know, 14 months, and then go to other schools to obtain the training and to work in teams.
Is there anything special about the character of a special ops soldier?
I think there is. It's an incredible commitment to dedication and also intellectual experience, but I think spiritually they're very sound. They have a drive to be close to God and also close to their brothers in arms that they serve with.
Yeah, that seems to be a really significant aspect of it. I remember hearing during the Team 6, exposure that, the primary objective is to bring your buddy back, that everyone has someone that they're teamed with. And in addition to getting the job done, the other part of the job is bring your partner back.
That would be very true. I mean, they work so closely. They're very, very intertwined in their relationships, and I think they really have an incredible a conviction for each other.
Now, what attracted you, Matt, to this distinctive ministry?
Pardon me, sir?
What attracted you to this particular ministry of being a chaplain in the military?
Well, my uncle was an Army chaplain, did two tours in Vietnam as an Army priest, and I always felt that it would be an opportunity to do some mission work, but also my brother's in the Army, so I think there's a combination of that. And I also had soldiers that had served from Canada, a lot of soldiers, a lot of Marines, and we'd lost one, and I felt it was my turn to serve. And we're understaffed. We need more priests in the Army, and I felt that I had the physical training and ability to do that. So I was so grateful for the Cardinal allowing me to do this for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, that is a really critical reality, isn't it, that there aren't enough chaplains to really take care of all the young men and women who need ministering?
There are not enough Army priests. We're probably short about 200 Army priests. The Archdiocese of Chicago, we have 5 active-duty Army priests, and that's really wonderful.
Well, that alone is reason enough for a young man to consider priesthood, because of this glaring need in this very particular population. Matt, when you return to parish life, as I suspect you will at some point, what do you think you'll bring back from this experience in the military? What insight, what wisdom do you think you'll be able to transfer from that experience to the parish back home?
Well, I hope it's been there trying me with the relationships of the younger generation I'm serving. So I'm with a generation that has been out there serving. Also, I believe that on days like Memorial Day and days when we forget to remember our fallen comrades and those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, I can remind people of those commitments and reach out to those veterans and serve them and understand them a little bit better, especially the families that suffer through the deployment.
Yeah. Anybody back home here you want to give a shout-out to?
Oh, just a shout-out to all the people in La Vita and also North Lawndale and, of course, my hometown, St. Joe's and Libertyville.
All right, St. Joe's in Libertyville. Know it well. Know it well. Is that where you grew up?
I did. I went to high school. Once a Wildcat, always a Wildcat.
All right. So, and then you wound up at Mundelein Seminary.
Roger that, sir.
Right down the street. Good for you. Well, Matt, deeply grateful for the service that you're doing, and please pass on our gratitude to the young men and women that you work with, and let them know they're in our minds and our hearts, and definitely in our prayers.
God bless you, and we all pray for peace.
Thank you so much. We're going to go to a short break, and then we're going to come back and continue our conversation with Caesar Hill and Bert Smith. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Are you ready for the upcoming changes in the words of the Mass? The revision of the Roman Missal brings innovations that will affect us all. Whether you are a teacher, catechist, priest, or parishioner, excellent resources are available to help you understand these changes in the words of the liturgy. For more information about how you can prepare yourself and your assembly, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit www.revisedromanmissal.org.
In 1915, inspired by an earlier poem about military service, Moina Michael wrote her own brief poem that goes like this. We cherish, too, the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies. She later conceived the idea to wear red poppies on Memorial Day in honor of those who died serving the nation during war. And that's why still today we have red poppies as a way of contributing to the needs of veterans. We spoke a little while ago with Father Matt Foley, who is a military chaplain, Bert and Caesar. Pretty inspiring stuff, huh?
Oh, unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Father Matt stated that there was five chaplains from the Archdiocese, and they really need 200 priests as chaplains. You know, that would be great because that would be an opportunity for our faith, the Catholic religion, to be spoke about. And I wish we did have that many, because that's a perfect time for them to serve those veterans.
Yeah. As Father Matt mentioned, they're young, you know, in their early 20s, most of them. And the hearts are open, especially when you're in that kind of dangerous situation. You recognize your need, and your heart is open to the gospel.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Would that there were ministers of the gospel there who could really touch their hearts and their lives and offer them the saving word that they're obviously very hungry for.
Absolutely.
Well, you gentlemen, as we discussed earlier, I should just... for anyone who tuned in later, Bert Smith is Program Supervisor of Catholic Charities Veterans Employment Program, and Cesar Hill is the Community Relationship Manager for Catholic Charities, located at St. Leo Campus for Veterans. Bert, tell us about employment opportunities for veterans. Obviously, working is critical to a man's or woman's sense of self-worth and to their survival. Veterans sometimes have unique challenges because of their history and because of the circumstances that they encounter when they come back. They don't come back alone. They come back with their memories and sometimes with the woundedness that is invisible. You encounter that kind of thing on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And also the relationship now they have to restore with their family. That's a major issue. What we do when we are referred a veteran, we do an assessment. We sit down with the veterans and see, what really are you looking for? Are you looking for employment? Are you looking for housing? And from there, we can direct them to the right agency. If it's employment, we do that assessment. What do you really want to do? What was your MOS or what was your duties in the military? Then we try to find, what do you have a passion for? What do you really want to do? Some comes and says, you know, I would love to be a landscaper. I would love to work in the garden. I would love to plant. Well, basically in the military, we have done a lot of cutting weeds. And then we start knocking on doors to landscapers. So we want to direct the veteran, what do they have a passion for? Because when you have a passion, you're going to do it well.
That's the key to success, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And in that respect, Bert and his team also encourage these veterans to think in terms of independent business development. And there are so many support mechanisms out there for them to consider establishing their own business, either singularly or jointly. And I think it's a beautiful thing.
Do you have situations where that's happened?
Well, you know, yesterday, one of the veterans, because we represent all veterans with barriers, a veteran that we've been assisting has a criminal background. So he wanted to start a business. I says, well, one of the way is let's go down to Streetwise. Let's basically become a part of that. You want to be an entrepreneur? Let's start with
Streetwise
that.
Is the newspaper that's sold on streets.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Same wonderful organization.
Yes, same organization, sold on street, and a large number of veterans are selling Streetwise who were homeless. So he started this. He's happy. He's getting an income. He's feeling good about himself. He's getting those soft skills. He's knowing how to present his product. So, yes, Cesar is correct. Entrepreneurship is a way also. And the VA, the Veterans Administration, is stressing veterans who's coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan to become small business owners.
Do you ever find that sometimes maybe a young man went into the military because he hadn't quite found himself, and he figured that during the time there, things would come together. And then the service ends, and they come back, and that didn't actually happen. And now maybe they feel even more lost than they did before. Is that a possible scenario?
Yes, it does happen. We have today many of our veterans went in right out of high school. Mm. And, of course, they go in to these warring situations and probably not greatly prepared to endure and witness what they see. and they come back just totally disoriented. This is the message that we need to put out to them, to seek assistance at the Veterans Administration hospitals. It's there. They're waiting for you with open arms. And we encourage veterans. There's a group of veterans, highly trained combat veterans, that scavenge on the north side. And I encountered these guys while I was in the shelter. And I go back and I ride down the streets and I see them sometime. And I encourage them, please, you're a survivor. You've proven that. But come in. Get the assistance. One in particular... it took me about 2 years, but he went in for treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder. He received 100% disability. So that's from pushing a shopping cart. I don't even want to imagine what they have to do to scavenge to make a living. And then they come together in the evening as a group, and they support one another. So to go from that to 100% disability, yeah. And he had the wherewithal to say, wait a minute. This is shocking. I need some help to manage this money.
Now, and he sought that out. Those who might be in greatest need may not be listening to the show, but people who know them might be.
Yes.
So we probably should encourage our listeners, if you know someone who could benefit from the services of Catholic Charities, give these folks a call or refer a person you know in need who could benefit from their service. Bert, why don't you give us a phone number or a website that people could contact to learn more about the services you offer?
Veterans Employment Program, 773-808-2950.
One more time.
773-808-2950 or CatholicCharities.net, a link to the Veterans Employment Program.
CatholicCharities.net, and that's Veterans Employment Program.
Yes.
I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge the work that's being done at St. Leo, where the rubber meets the road. Dr. Eddie Taylor is the Director of Veterans Services and leads a talented, not just well-trained, but well-educated staff in caring for those veterans.
Well, I want to thank both of you gentlemen for the wonderful work that you do. And we want to thank our listeners for tuning in. The most important thing we can do this Memorial Day weekend is to remember those who've gone before and those who currently are fighting and risking their lives, and remember them especially in prayer. So we'd like to end the program this morning with a prayer that was composed by Father Austin Fleming. I would just invite everyone to join with me in offering this as a genuine prayer for the safety of those who are serving in dangerous places throughout the world. In the quiet sanctuaries of our own hearts, let each of us name and call on the one whose power over us is great and gentle, firm and forgiving, holy and healing. You who created us, who sustain us, who call us to live in peace, hear our prayer this day. Hear our prayer for all who have died, whose hearts and hopes are known to you alone. Hear our prayer for those who put the welfare of others ahead of their own and give us hearts as generous as theirs. Hear our prayer for those who gave their lives in the service of others and accept the gift of their sacrifice. Help us to shape and make a world where we will lay down the arms of war and turn our swords into plowshares for a harvest of justice and peace. Comfort those who grieve the loss of their loved ones, and let your healing be the hope in our hearts. Hear our prayer this day, and in your mercy answer us, in the name of all that is holy, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.